Hello, this is Robert Rickover at Body Learning, and today my guest is Lisa Luton, who is an Alexander Technique teacher and a flutist, professional flutist, who is currently in New York City but is about to move to New Orleans for a year and then will be in Washington, D.C., and you can find out where she is at any given time by checking her website, which will be post it next to the interview. Lisa, welcome to the show today.
Thanks very much, Robert.
I wonder if you could start by just giving our listeners a very short description of the Alexander Technique or definition so they know what we're talking about here.
Sure. Very generally, the Alexander Technique is a type of body awareness training that anyone can use to help them recognize and eliminate excess tension.
Great. And it is used a lot by musicians, but of course it's used a lot by all kinds of other people too, people with back pain and stiff shoulders and the like. Although today we're going to focus primarily on musicians. Now, before the interview, you mentioned that you have quite a few musicians as students.
I do.
And maybe you could just say a little bit about what a musician who came to you for lessons might expect, and then we could perhaps have an example or two of students that you've, a specific example of students that you've worked with.
Sure. I would say for the most part, musicians come to study the Alexander Technique for usually one of three reasons. Usually they either want to improve their performance, or they're dealing with some sort of pain issue, either chronic or temporary, hopefully, or they want some help with performance anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
And what they might expect, we would actually deal with those three issues in very similar ways with the Alexander Technique. What we're offering is a thought process whereby, you know, musicians can use their own thinking to change their physical and mental state while they're performing. And thankfully, it can help with all three of those things.
Mm-hmm. And so could you say a word or two about sort of what happens when someone comes to you for a lesson? If it would be, if a specific example would be best, that would be fine.
Sure. Generally speaking, when people come to me for a lesson, one of the first things I'll do is ask them to play for me. And usually from there, I can get a sense of how we should work. And generally speaking, I guess I'll give an example of a flutist who came to me. She just, I think, wanted some help improving her performance. She sensed that there were ways that she was working too hard. She felt a little bit of tension in her shoulder. And she told me that she experienced pain from time to time in her left arm. So I could see from her playing that she was basically, she was correct in her assumption. She was using just a little bit too much effort. Most notably, in her left arm, I could see where she was maybe having a little bit too much effort when she played. But also, I think what a lot of musicians don't understand and what an Alexander Technique teacher can help with is that we're really looking at the whole when we're looking at a performance. So I was able to talk to her, for example, about the relationship between her head and her feet and the relationship between her head, neck, and back that might have influenced what she was feeling in her arm and shoulder. So we work very much that way, just raising her awareness about what she was doing through her whole body. And in the end, that did have a very profound impact on the symptom that she was reporting, which was the pain in the arm and her general sense of just playing with too much effort.
Mm-hmm. And when you're working with a student, I assume you're using a combination of very gentle hands-on guidance and verbal instructions. Is that right?
That's absolutely right, yeah.
And would you say that that represents the main difference between what an Alexander technique teacher could do to help a musician and perhaps some practitioners of other modalities. And there's why, I guess what I'm getting at is why would a musician come to an Alexander technique teacher instead of, oh, I don't know, a physical therapist or a chiropractor or something like that?
That's a good question. I think in a lot of cases, would definitely encourage musicians, if they are in pain, to pursue treatment in standard Western ways. So I think there are definitely cases in which physical therapy is a really, really good choice for a musician. But I think the Alexander technique is a really good supplement, even if that's been prescribed by a doctor and the physical therapy seems to be helping. I think the Alexander technique is really unique in that it can help a musician get to the heart of what's causing the problem in the first place. So often a musician will see a physical therapist, and the physical therapist will work with them on strengthening and making sure their muscles are well balanced. But if the musician doesn't address what they're doing in their everyday activities, especially playing their instrument, then it's quite possible that the condition could come back. And what we're seeking to do with the Alexander technique is really get to the heart of what's causing the problem in the first place and help the musician understand how they can address that problem themselves and really learn to troubleshoot for themselves.
And what you, I assume one of the things that you're particularly interested in is how a musician, let's say, directs themselves as they play, or what, how they think about their movements as they perform them. Would that be a fair statement?
Indeed.
Yeah. So, I know from talking to you that your original reason for taking Alexander lessons yourself was performance anxiety and also some chronic pain issues. Could you say a little about your own story, with regard to the Alexander technique?
Sure. I first went to my very first private Alexander lesson for some performance anxiety that I was having. And basically, I was just unhappy that the level of my performance in my own practice room, I was pretty happy with. But then when I'd get out on stage, I didn't like the gap that appeared. I felt my performance wasn't as convincing. I would have some technical trouble. And what I noticed specifically was that I had a lot of trouble with my breathing. Musicians know that we plan our breathing very carefully in practice, and we would hope that we would be able to do that same breathing in performance. And I was finding that I couldn't, that conditions had changed so much that I couldn't do that. So from my very first Alexander technique lesson, I went in San Francisco in probably 1996 to a lovely guy named George Lister, who suggested to me that I might be tightening in my neck. And I honestly thought, is this guy crazy? I'm not tightening in my neck. And he put one of these Alexander hands gently on my neck, and I went, oh, I get it. I am tightening my neck, and I just didn't know I was doing it. And from that moment, the light bulb really went on, and I think what really excited me about the technique and what continues to excite me about the technique is that potential for recognizing our own limitations, the limitations that we put in our own way, and the fact that if we remove those limitations, in this case, tension that we're not aware of, that our potential is actually quite a bit greater than we might think it is. So I was very excited by that. I was hooked immediately. I noticed that from then on that indeed I was tightening my neck all over the place in all kinds of situations that I didn't need to be. And I felt quite empowered by the fact that I could learn to undo that and that I always had that as a really reliable tool that I could count on in performance situations and other situations to really help me feel better.
And so it sounds like we earlier talked about the difference between the Alexander technique and things like physical therapy or chiropractic, that a physical therapist might not, they might try to help you rearrange the way you move, but without necessarily being aware of that role of that relatively subtle neck tension that you just talked about.
Yeah, and this relationship, this might sound strange to a lot of musicians, but I've actually seen this in flutists over and over and over, is that most of us are approaching all of our everyday activities with just a little bit too much tension, and tension specifically in that relationship between the head, neck, and back. And I've found this a million times over. If musicians can learn to undo that tension, recognize that tension and undo it, there are just dramatic improvements usually in sound quality and overall coordination. So we're really looking at that as the beginning of an overall pattern.
And I'm assuming that most musicians would not on their own come to an idea about the importance of their necks in playing. I'm guessing that when you take music lessons and train to be a musician, that isn't something that comes to the fore very often.
You are quite right. It does not come to the fore.
Yeah, and it's too bad because it, as you say, it really can affect everything else, and not just in playing, but in all your other daily activities. So, is there anything else that you would like to add that we haven't covered?
Well, I'm also, I'd just like to point out that there are many other things that don't come to the fore in our conservatory training of musicians. Mm-hmm. And one of the most freeing things for me about studying the Alexander technique has been the idea, the emphasis on doing less, learning to do a little bit less. And I do wish that that were a bigger part of standard musical training. I think it can really help musicians both physically and emotionally. I think that's a really unique thing about the Alexander technique, that we're very much focused on, could we approach this activity with a little bit less effort? Could we make this easier for ourselves instead of harder?
And that kind of goes against a lot of, not just for musicians, but in a lot of fields, the idea that the way to get better is to do more. Yeah? And so this seems to be in opposition to that. So what would you say to a musician who says, you know, I feel like I have to work harder to play better?
Well, I would suggest to the musician that that's not so. Mm-hmm. And certainly, I think actually just a very few lessons in the Alexander technique can start to show a musician how that might be possible.
Yeah, and I guess I would add that another way of finding that out for yourself as a musician is to experiment with Alexander ideas with another musician with a good ear there to hear it. Because what I've noticed in work that I've done with musicians is often they will not necessarily hear the difference themselves. That it's really good to have an objective observer that can say, you know, that really sounded a lot better, even if the person playing or singing isn't aware of that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Great idea.
Well, and is there anything else you'd like to add to before we end the interview?
I don't think so, Robert. I think we've covered the basics. I would just encourage anyone listening to seek out an Alexander teacher and see what it's all about.
Yeah, and really, most people would have a pretty clear idea of whether the technique was helping them within the first lesson or two or three, something like that. It doesn't take a long time to start to notice the benefits of this work. So my guest today has been Lisa Luton, who is an Alexander Technique teacher and flutist who is about to move to New Orleans and then will be moving to Washington, D.C. You can find her current location on her website, which we'll attach to the interview. Lisa, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you so much, Robert.